Good morning. We're going to continue our series on having a clear focus for the year. We started this just before the new year began, and we'll keep it up for a number of more sessions. And the purpose of this is so as we go about our daily lives where there are so many distractions, we each week at least have at least one thing where we can clearly focus on God and His Word. And there are obviously many things in God's Word, but it's hard to think of them all at once. So we try to have one or two things to think about and focus on that we know are worthwhile and are godly. And then if everything else in life goes great, hallelujah. If things aren't going the way we want, at least we have one thing that's worthwhile, biblical, and godly to focus on. And the topic this week will be to keep seeking God. And I checked back in my notes because, you know, I have notes from several decades of teaching these Sunday morning fellowships. And this is a topic I seem to teach about every other year on average. It's just such an important one. It keeps coming back. And there are many things like that in God's Word that although we may have read about them, we sometimes get a little distracted and forget them. And to just go back and look at it again and see what else we can learn, because every time we look at something in the Scriptures, we've grown. We have a slightly different perspective, so we see it a little different way because of the understanding of life. And even if it comes out the same way in our minds, it's still worthwhile to look at it again. So we're going to talk about continuing to seek God. Just keep seeking. So we'll start in Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 23. Deuteronomy 4:23. We read here in Deuteronomy 4:23, "Take heed unto yourselves, lest you forget the covenant, the agreement, the testament, the agreement of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and make you a graven image or the likeness of anything which the Lord thy God hath forbidden thee. For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. When thou shalt beget children and children's children, and ye shall have remained long in the land, and shall corrupt yourselves, and make a graven image, or the likeness of anything, and shall do evil in the sight of the Lord, to provoke him to anger, I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day, that you shall soon utterly perish from off the land, whereunto you go over Jordan to possess it. You shall not prolong your days upon it, but you shall be utterly destroyed." So God is just saying the obvious. If you guys turn away from me and worship other gods, you won't do well. You'll end up being destroyed. Verse 27, "And the Lord shall scatter you among the nations, and you shall be left few in number among the heathen, whither the Lord shall lead you. And there you shall serve gods, the work of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see nor hear nor eat nor smell." But look at the contrast here, verse 29. If from that time thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt what? Find him. What an amazing thing. If we read nothing else today but that one half a verse, from being in the middle of that mess where they're worshiping false gods and totally off the ball spiritually, if even from there you seek the Lord that your God, you will what? Find him. If you seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. So even if you find yourself in a real mess, now you and I don't tend to go off and worship, you know, idols made out of men's hands, but we do make mistakes and get off the ball at times. So picture yourself in the worst mess you've ever been in, which we've all been in messes, or the goofiest, silliest, worst thing you've ever done, because we all do silly wrong things at times. So picture yourself in that situation, and then if you seek the Lord your God with all your heart, you'll find him. He's not hiding. There's so many people that think it's just not worth looking to God because they can't find him. They don't know where to look. They don't know anything about God's Word. Somebody told them some silly little platitude about, you know, all things work together for good. And forgetting all the parts of the verse that talk about trusting God and doing his will and speaking in tongues. So they have this very, very limited spirituality based on what somebody told them, and then they don't find God and they don't get answers from God, so they give up. But what the scriptures say here is if you seek the Lord with all your heart, you will find him. He's not hiding. You'll get to him. You'll get answers. So if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him, if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Verse 30, when thou art in tribulation, trouble, mental pressure, confusion, being attacked, if you're in tribulation and all these things come upon thee, even in the latter days, if thou turn to the Lord thy God and shalt be obedient unto thy voice, for the Lord thy God is a merciful God, unto his voice, for the Lord thy God is a merciful God, he will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, which he sware unto them. God's just not going to do that. He's not going to forget you. So that's the main thing. If you seek the Lord, you'll find him. Let's go to 1 Chronicles chapter 16. Here we are in 1 Chronicles in chapter 16, verse 10. Glory ye in his holy name. Brag about God. Glory. You know, just talk about how great God is. Let the heart of them that rejoice, let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Those that are seeking the Lord, those that are going to God for help, those that are praying for his assistance, those that are looking to him for peace and comfort and deliverance and guidance and support and to have their needs supplied and to provide them the desires of their heart and the joy in their lives, those people should rejoice. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Then look at verse 11. Seek the Lord and his strength. See, sometimes our strength runs low. We do all we can, and we just can't accomplish the things we want. We can't rise up to the occasion and get things done because there are just too many roadblocks, there are too many difficulties, we have too many shortcomings, we just can't do things. But it says, seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. Keep going to God. You know, if you deal in business or you have friends and relatives, it's good to go seek their faces. It's good to go talk to them. But you can't continually go talk to very many people because they have other things to do. There may be a couple people you can talk to all the time, but most people have other stuff to do besides talk to you. But God, you can talk to continually. He's always there. You should seek his face continually. People and situations and locations and opportunities and business arrangements and 100 other things will come and go in your life. But you can seek the Lord continually because he will always be there. He will always answer. When was the last time you went to speak in tongues and no words came out? Or you prayed and focused on God and just really prayed and focused on God and you didn't get peace in your heart? Those things don't happen. God comes through for you because that's what God does. So let's read that again. Verse 11, seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face continually. Verse 12, remember his marvelous works that he hath done. Just remember them. Think of all the great things God has done for you, his wonders, and the judgments of his mouth. The great truths that come out through the Word of God. So we want to seek the Lord and his strength, as we read back there in verse 10. We want to seek his face continually. It's good to have your strength. It's good if there's a person around who's strong in some area of life that can help you. That's wonderful. But the problem is, your strength and my strength are limited. Any person you talk to, their strength is limited. But God has no limits. Or if he does have limits, they're so far above us that for all intents and purposes in our lives, they're limitless. So that's why we seek the Lord, verse 10, or verse 11, and his strength. We seek his face continually. And as it says in verse 10, let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. We should rejoice. And if you're not rejoicing about seeking the Lord, well, get your head in the Word and pray and focus on God and turn your brain around. Just it's not that you can stop thinking about the things that are bothering you. Start thinking about how great God is. Start focusing on that, and you'll have great peace, and you'll find the Lord, and the Lord will show his strength in your life. Psalm 9. Here we go to Psalm 9 and verse 9. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. The Lord also will be a refuge from the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble, and they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. For thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. God does not forsake or ignore or leave stranded those that seek him. He hears their cries and he answers their prayers. But we have to seek him because he gives us freedom of will. Even if you're at the department store or the mall on Christmas and a kid wants to get a candy cane from Santa Claus, he's still got to go sit on Santa Claus's lap and tell him what he wants for Christmas, or he won't get a candy cane. You have to go do something. Well, what we have to do is not go talk to Santa Claus. We have something much greater. We go to God. We seek him, and he'll be the one to not forsake us, answer us, and take care of us. Psalm 34. This is a remarkable verse. Psalm 34. In verse 10, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want or lack any good thing. And that's amazing. We've talked about this before, and it's very obvious if you've ever watched any National Geographic shows or know anything at all about life in the jungle, but the lion is the king of the jungle, and the young lions are the fastest ones able to catch prey and eat. So if even the young lions are hungry, that means things are really tough. Because if there's any food anywhere, they're the ones most likely to catch it. So if things are so bad that those at the top of the food chain, so to speak, can't eat, things are tough. But even if you're in one of those situations where things are so bad that even those most likely to succeed are failing, they that seek the Lord, verse 10, shall not lack or want any good thing. And sometimes people have a bad habit of focusing on negatives in the society or in the news or in the economy and get a little distracted and concerned. Whereas what we ought to do is focus on the Lord, because if we seek the Lord, if we go to him and look to him for help, we will lack nothing. Now, it doesn't mean we shouldn't do our best to survive in the economic environment or whatever other environment we're working in, but no matter what the economic environment or the business community or the job market's like or any other thing that may be of a concern to you, no matter what's going on there, those that seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. So I'm like everybody. I do my best to work things in the financial world and the business world to prosper and succeed. Everyone has their way of doing it, and there's no single way to prosper in life and jobs and finances. Everybody has an approach, and everybody has good reason for their approach, and that's great. But no matter how good your approach is, or no matter what's going on in the economy, those that seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. So it's like we always say, you do your best and God will do the rest. Do your best to take care of things in your life. Everybody does and everybody should. But whether your plans work or fail, God won't fail. He'll be the one to come through and to cover for you and to take care of what you need. Because those that seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Psalm 34, further on, verse 22. Another verse. It says, the Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. and that where it says none of them that trust in him, that's a Hebrew word that can mean seek refuge. None of them that seek refuge with the Lord, none of them that seek refuge with the Lord shall be desolate. And I'm not sure if you're familiar with the term seeking refuge, but this occurs throughout history. There are places of refuge. In the Old Testament, they had cities of refuge where you could go if you accidentally killed somebody and his family came after you trying to kill you. There were cities of refuge you could hide in. There are times in the Middle Ages where churches and abbeys and monasteries served as places of refuge. Even today, with all these fights over borders and immigration, some countries serve as refuges. If they want, government wants to kill you in one country, you can go to another country and seek asylum or refuge. Throughout history, there have been places where you could find refuge. Well, the ultimate place is God. So that's why it says, verse 22, the Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him seek refuge from him. Flee for protection. Put trust in him, or confide or hope in him. Nobody that seeks refuge from the Lord shall be desolate. Shall be desolate. And in other words, God will get you what you need. So seeking refuge from the Lord never leaves you desolate, never leaves you in need without what you require in life. Let's go to Psalm 63. Here we go, Psalm 63. We'll start at verse 1. O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. That word early can also be translated diligently. O God, thou art my God, diligently, early will I seek thee. Well, that's a great thing. See, today's a wonderful Sunday. A lot of people don't work Sunday. They have time to do things like we're doing, worship the Lord and read the scriptures and do things like that. And that's wonderful. But then Monday morning, most people go back to work or go about their daily, weekly routine, whatever it is. And you have a lot of things to think about. You might want to have a cup of coffee to wake up. You might want to have to get dressed a special way. You might have to drive somewhere. You might have to organize papers. You might have to study something so you're ready for a meeting. But whatever it is, in addition to doing all that preparation work you have to do, we should be seeking God. Early tomorrow morning, we should be waking up and diligently seeking the Lord, praying about every aspect of our day, praying that the Lord will be there to take care of us, praying that he's going to give us direction and supply our needs and deliver us from whatever challenges might be there. O God, thou art my God, early, diligently will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Verse 2, to seek thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be as satisfied as with marrow and fatness, or as with the richest foods or a rich feast. My soul will be satisfied as though I were eating a rich feast, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate upon thee in the night watches. What a great thing to do as you're falling asleep. Think about God's great, wonderful love and kindness for you. Because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee, thy right hand upholdeth me. But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. Those that seek his soul to destroy it. This is what the psalmist is saying. David, he's saying, those that seek my soul. See, we talked about how great it is to seek God. Well, those that are seeking to destroy David, they'll go into the lower parts of the earth. They're going to the grave. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for foxes. They'll be just food for the wild animals to eat. Verse 11, but the king shall rejoice in... Oh, portion for foxes can also be translated food for jackals. There'll be food for jackals. Verse 11, but the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone that sweareth by him shall glory. Brag about how great he is, but the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. So isn't that great, though, in verse 1? Earlier, diligently will I seek God. Proverbs 8. And, of course, Proverbs, we read about wisdom sort of being personified, the wisdom of God. Wisdom speaks out as a person. And verse 12, Proverbs 8, verse 12, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. The fear, the reverence of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy, and the evil way and the froward or perverse mouth do I hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding, I have strength. By me kings reign and princes decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. See, sometimes we don't know where to go for wisdom and advice. Well, if we seek God's wisdom early, we'll find it. Riches and honor are with me, wisdom, yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit, the results of what I have, is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. Verse 20, I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. But let's look at verse 17 again. I, the wisdom of God, love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. So if early and diligently we seek the wisdom of God, we'll find it. God loves us. He's there. He takes care of us. Great stuff. Let's go to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah, chapter 29. Jeremiah 29 and verse 10. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. Verse 11, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an unexpected end. Then shall ye call upon me. That's what's going to happen when he brings them back to Jerusalem in 70 years. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken, I will listen unto you. And you shall seek me, and what? Find me. And you shall search for me with all your heart. When we honestly and lovingly and humbly turn to God to seek his help, his guidance, his support, we will find him. He's not hiding. You shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. Wonderful. Verse 14, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. Wild stuff. Here's a very familiar one here in the book of Matthew. Here in the book of Matthew. And in chapter 7. Matthew 7 and verse 7. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall what? Find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. So when we ask of God, he'll give us what we need. When we seek him, we'll find him. When we knock, God will open doors for us. Isn't that great? We just need to seek the Lord, seek his help, and we'll find what we need. Oh, here's a slightly different way to look at this. Colossians chapter 3. Another familiar one. Verse 1. If, or since ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. So we seek those things which are above. We're surrounded by things on the earth, and we have to deal with them, and we need to, and we should enjoy them and deal with them the best we can. But we want to have our minds focused on those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection or your mind, your thoughts, on things above, not on things on the earth. Now, you can take this to extremes. If you spend so much time thinking of things that are above, you forget to do stuff like eat lunch or stop at a stop sign when you're driving. That'd be very bad. But I think you understand what it's talking about. You have to deal with the things of the earthly world, but when you're thinking about life in general, you want to focus on the things of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth, for you are dead. Because as far as God's concerned, when Christ died, we died with him. When he was raised, we were raised with him. When he ascended, we ascended with him. But we're not physically going to be with him until the gathering together. For you are dead, verse 3, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. That's when the gathering together will happen, and that's when we'll be seated with him on the right hand of God physically. Right now, that is our place. That's why it says we're citizens of heaven. We're ambassadors for Christ here on this earth. We are seated in the heavenlies as far as God's concerned, but physically it won't happen until later. It's like picture, you're the embassy from, pick a country, Romania. Live at the embassy, the Romanian embassy in Washington, D.C. From a legal diplomatic point of view, that little quarter of an acre in Washington, D.C., the Romanian embassy, is actually Romanian territory. It's in the middle of Washington, D.C., which is in the middle of the United States of America, but it's Romanian territory. And you work for the Romanian government, and you have a place in Romania. You just happen to be on assignment to D.C. for 3 years. Well, that's the way we are. We're citizens of heaven. We're seated in the heavenlies. We're just on assignment to planet Earth. And when the Lord returns, whether it's today or a million years from now, we're taken off diplomatic assignment and we're going back home. But it'll start by being seated with the Lord on the right hand of God. It'll involve coming back to this earth for the Battle of Armageddon. And finally, this earth will be destroyed and there will be a new heaven and a new earth. And that's where we'll live forever in that new place. So that's why it says, you're dead, your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. What a great thing. What a wonderful thing. Let's go on to, but in the meantime, we want to seek those things which are above. And speaking of what we just said, let's go to Hebrews 13, verse 14, clarifies that even a little more. Hebrews 13 and verse 14. For here we have no continuing city. There's no city here we can live in where we'll be forever. You may like living in the town you're living in, and you may live there the rest of your life. And that's great. But you can't live there for eternity. Because that town, along with this entire planet, is eventually going to be burned up, and there will be a new heaven and earth. So that's why it says we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. And that'll be the heavenly Jerusalem and the new heaven and earth, where we'll end up after the gathering together and other things happen in the book of Revelation. So we have no continuing city. We seek one to come. So I wouldn't be too concerned about where you live on this earth. Obviously, you want to live in a place where you're comfortable and you have what you need, which is Mom prayed. She was thankful she was and Dad are in a place where they have what they need, and Brian's in a place he has what he needs, and I live in a place where I have what I need, and that's wonderful. And I'm very, very thankful for that. But that's not going to last for eternity. But we're all going to be in a place for eternity that does last forever. So we seek that. We have that hope. We look forward to that. So let me review some of the things we looked at today. We reviewed, if you seek the Lord, you'll find him. We should seek the Lord in his strength. God does not forsake those that seek him. Even when the young lions lack and suffer hunger, they that seek the Lord won't lack any good thing. None of them that seek refuge from the Lord will be desolate. The psalmist said, "Early and diligently I will seek the Lord." And Proverbs, the wisdom of God, says those that seek wisdom early and diligently shall find it. God said in Jeremiah, "You shall seek me and find me," even after they've been all goofed up and walked away from God and got sent to Babylon. When they come back, they can seek God and find him. In Colossians, we read, we seek those things which are above. We put our thoughts on God and his Son, Jesus Christ. And in Hebrews, we read, we have no continuing city on this earth, but we seek one to come. So, Heavenly Father, I thank you for these great truths in your word. Thank you that we can focus on seeking you, that no matter what may happen to us in the days ahead of us before we meet again here in our fellowship, that we can continue to seek you. We can continue to look to you. We can continue to expect your blessings. We can continue to not focus on the things of this earth, but focus on your great deliverance and your great love for us, knowing that you don't forsake those that seek you. Thank you for this. We pray for Peter, that he gets through this time of loss. We pray for Dee Dee's family, that they get through this time of loss. And most of all, we're hopeful and looking forward to the time where we'll see Dee Dee again when your son returns. And we thank you for all of this, and that we can continue to pray for one another. We pray for Leah and her new housing, and that you give her all she needs, and for all the rest of our loved ones in and out of the fellowship. We just pray for them and know that you are there to take care of them as they look to you and trust you. I thank you for this in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen.